I want us to, over the next few Sundays, I'm not going to try to do a whole lot of these, but I want us to deal with what we call the one another passages in the Scripture. We got to checking into the one another passages, and including the Old Testament and the New Testament, there's like 117, depending on how you look at them, different one another passages. And so I had a list of those from the New Testament, and I couldn't find it, so we had to go back and make another one. I say we because my wife helped me graciously, because if I work on the computer, I don't do what I need to do. I order pizzas or something, you know, but the things I don't plan on doing. I think God created computers to test my stamina, because there's times when I want to just pick them up and throw them out in the yard, you know, and he's saying, don't do that, do that. So I think they were, if no, not others, they were invented especially for me to well, it tests my Christianity sometimes anyway. But anyway, in it all, we went through and made a list, especially those from the New Testament and those that apply to the church. And so that's what I want us to do. I'm going to give you this list that I have. They're just for your use. You can do what you want to with them. But they'll give you the ability to go through and read those one another verses. And that will help us to... she gave you one sheet? Oh, she's not supposed to do that. Let me give you another one there for Tommy. No, that's all right. I swap with you. This is just for study purpose. We're not going to look at all of these. I've chose about five or six that we want to look at. I think that's just one. All right. Well, Tommy's coming. You can give him one of them. These passages specifically deal with our relationship with one another. And so we want to talk a little bit about some of these over the next few weeks. And the one I want to talk about this morning is kind of a kickoff that helps us to understand that we are, as a body, we're members of one another. And so I want you to think about that and think about what that means to you. Now I want to deal with two words this morning to start out with, two words that I know we know what they mean, but I'm not sure we fully comprehend all that's involved in those two words. One is the term that we apply toward Jesus, which is Emmanuel. Can someone tell me what that word means? God with us. That's what it basically means. All right. And then the other part of that same idea is the incarnation. What is an incarnation? Speak up a little louder. Okay. That God became flesh. That's basically what it amounts to. So when we talk about Emmanuel, okay, and God becoming flesh, that is a very unique idea as far as Christianity is concerned. Other religions have supposedly had visitations from their gods, or maybe had a dream or a trance concerning their God, but none of them have had a God that lived with them, okay? And that's basically what God did. In His concern for His creation, okay, Jesus Himself, who was the Creator, came down and took on the form of His creation in order to save that creation. Okay, and that's a very unique idea. It's almost like someone writing a play, and they place themselves in the play, so to speak, or a potter maybe making a piece of pottery, and he puts himself into his piece that he's making, if you can get the idea there. So when we think about Jesus coming to this earth, we think about several different things, okay? And that is that He came, of course, through the virgin birth, just as you and I did. He did everything just like we did. You know, it's one thing that when we stand before God on Judgment Day, we can't say to God, you don't know what it was like down there. Because what's He going to say? Oh, yes, I do, because I did it. I was there with you, okay? So He did that for us, okay? So He came this earth. He was born in the flesh. He lived, okay? He taught, set us a good example, and then He died. He was buried, and He was resurrected, and now He's sitting at the right hand of God in heaven, okay? So when we think about that, we think about the incarnate life of Christ, okay? Now He's back in heaven, and when we think about that, we think about Him coming back to this earth again, okay? But when we think about the idea of incarnate, okay, He's still incarnate today. Now, how do I mean that? Okay. Well, what is the church? What? It's a body. A body of what? It's the body of Christ, okay? Now, if the church is the body of Christ, then Christ is on the earth today, is He not? He's in the world today through His church. Okay, now I want you to comprehend that. I want you to think about that, okay? Because too many times we get the idea that the church is an organization. Okay, that's our way of thinking. It's an organization, okay? We have an eldership, we have preachers, we have programs, we have budgets, and we spend all our time dealing with these things, and we forget about the fact that we are not an organization, we are an organism. And what do I mean by organism? What is an organism?
Living.
Something that's living, something that's live, okay? And you and I are members of the body. And so we are Christ on earth. We are His representative. Christ works through us to accomplish what it is He wants to do. Okay. Now over in John chapter 1, He has a unique way of beginning His gospel there. And He said, in the beginning was what? The Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. Okay, now who's He talking about there? What's the Word there? Come on, you guys know who that is. What is there? That's the word Logos. Who's He talking about? In the beginning was the Word.
Jesus.
That's absolutely who it was. It's Jesus. Jesus was in the beginning with God. He was created. Okay? And so He is the Word. He is the Logos. Now over in verse 14, somebody got that there? Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 14. Someone have that? Read verse 14 for me. John chapter 1, Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 14. Okay, so the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw it. We witnessed it, okay? And we're writing to you to tell you what we witnessed, okay? So that is the story of Christ incarnate for His visitation, for His coming to this earth, for His being who He was. Now over in Luke chapter 2, verses 10 and 11, we're going to read several scriptures this morning, so kind of keep your Bible handy there. Luke chapter 2, verse 10 and 11, he says, "But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. Today in the town of David, a Son has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be for you that you will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger.'" So Christ came. He lived on this earth. He was Emmanuel, which means... What do we say Emmanuel means? God with us, okay? And to say that He is no longer Emmanuel would mean that He's not with us today. But to say that He is Emmanuel means that He is with us today, okay? So my proposal to you is that He is still Emmanuel. He is still incarnate. He's incarnate through His church, okay? So that places upon me then a great responsibility. All right. 1 John chapter 1. Let's read verses 1 and 2. 1 John chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. So I'm going to go ahead and read it. Got it? No, that's it. That's it.
This we proclaim concerning the word of life. The life appeared. We have seen it and testified to it. We proclaim to you the eternal life which was with the Father and has appeared to us.
Okay. So that's Christ. That's Emmanuel. That is Christ incarnate, okay, coming and living on this earth. Now, when we think about God, God has kind of a unique way of conducting His business. We don't fully understand all the things that He does, but only God could make a 90-year-old woman fertile to where she could bear a child. You know, that's kind of a unique thing which shows us His godliness. I read stories like the one with Gideon over there, where had these armies of several hundred thousand people coming to do battle with Judah, and God told Gideon, you know, he cut his numbers down to 300, and gave him some mason jars and a trumpet, and said, "Go out there and do battle." Remember that story? And they blew the trumpets and broke those jars, and saw the lights shining, and the army scared to death, and they took off running, you know, and they defeated them without doing anything. God works in a unique way. Well, He did the same thing. When we think about the idea of Emmanuel incarnate, okay, because not only did He come to this earth and accomplish what He needed to do on this earth by paying the penalty for our sin, but now He's ruling. He's in heaven. He's not here physically, but He is working through His church to accomplish what He needs to do today. Okay. Now that being said, we need to understand, the purpose of the church and what the church is. We have as the symbol of our country the bald eagle. Okay, that he's a symbol. Why do we have that? Why do we need a symbol? Okay, you got this eagle who is bold and he's self-sufficient, so to speak. You know, he makes his own way, and so our founding father said they wanted that eagle to represent what they wanted the United States to be. Of course, Benjamin Franklin, what did he want? Yeah, we rally around those things. Okay, remember Ben Franklin wanted a turkey, didn't he? A turkey's got his characteristics, but I couldn't see a turkey sitting up there looking over here. I think the eagle was a little bit better. Our sports team, they pick a mascot and they have their own little emblem. You know, the Cowboys have got their little star up there, you know, and those kind of things. And that they kind of use those to, you know, get people up and get them excited, you know, to do their thing. Well, you know, when Paul was writing, according to the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he had an emblem for us to rally around too, but something for us to think about. And that is the idea that we are a body. Okay, let's read a couple of scriptures. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 18. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 18. Somebody gets there, just go ahead and read it. Okay, he's the firstborn of what? The body, which is the church. So the church is his body. So Paul uses the body as a something for us to understand what the church is all about. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 27. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 27. Someone have that? Like to share it? Verse 27, 12 and 27. In 12, 27, 1 Corinthians? 1 Corinthians 12, 27. Yeah. Okay, so you are, he's speaking to the Christians there, you are the body of Christ and members of it. Okay, one more, Romans chapter 12, verse 5. Okay, go ahead and read it. Okay, now I want you to think about that now, because he didn't say you resemble a body or you act like a body. He said you are the body of Christ. Okay, and that's why I make the statement I made when I said Christ is still incarnate in the fact that He is working through the church because He is the head of the body. Now, while the head may be sitting at the right hand of God in heaven, His body is still functioning upon this earth. And we're not like something. We are that body. Okay? So, we think about a body. What do we see when we see a body? What do you think of when you think of a body? All right. It's composed of a lot of different parts. And every part has its function. All right. Every part has a job. All right. What's the purpose of my eyes? To see. My ears, hear. I speak with the mouth, maybe more than I should, you know. But everything, hands, feet, everything has a function. Okay. Let's just go ahead and go over to back over to 1 Corinthians chapter 12 once again. I want to read that passage so that we get a good understanding here. I know we've read this a lot of times. Let me get back over there. Yeah, chapter 12. I think I want to start about verse 12 if I remember correctly. Let me look here. Yeah. Let me read it. I want to read a few passages here. Now, this is Paul speaking to the body. Okay, the body is a unit, though it is made up of many different parts, and though all the parts are many, they form one body, and so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jew or Greek, slave or free, and we were all given one Spirit to drink. Now the body is not made of one part, but of many. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I don't belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be a part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I don't belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would be the sense of hearing? And if the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? But in fact, now pay attention to this, but in fact, God has arranged the body parts, the parts in the body, every one of them, just as He wanted them to be. And if they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. The head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts are unrepresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has combined the members of the body and has given greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now, what is Paul talking about here? And of course, this is the Spirit speaking through Paul. What is he talking about here? Okay. He's talking about a body. What is he talking about?
Our relationship to each other.
He's talking about his church. And he's using the body to teach us a lesson. Okay. Now, there's several things we need to see there that we talked about there. He said, first of all, he says, God put every part in the body where He wanted it. Okay? All right, now that's important for us to remember. Every body part has a function. Now, if I'm out here and I say, they don't need me, or I'm not important, okay, what are you doing? You're calling God a liar, aren't you? Because God says, every body part has its function. Okay? I wonder about doctors sometimes when they go in there and cut those appendages out. They say, there's absolutely no need for an appendix. It does nothing whatsoever. I'll guarantee you it does something. I don't know what it does, but it does something. It's not there, you know, because you don't need it. God put it there for a reason. Okay? So every body part has a function. Okay? The second thing we need to know is that no part of the body is any more important than another. Now remember, we're talking about the church. Okay? We have this unique mindset that we're sitting here in the pews and we've got a preacher up there preaching, or we've got a Bible class teacher here teaching, or maybe we have elders who are ruling, and we get the idea, you know, of a priority type thing, and we're right down here at the bottom sitting in the pew. Okay? Is that what the scriptures say? No. Absolutely not. Absolutely not. It says that every part, every body part, has a function. Now, if we're all doing what we're supposed to do, the preacher's preaching, Bible class teachers are teaching, the elders are doing their thing, and we're all doing our thing, you know, most of the work is done from the pews. Okay? If it's not, it should be. Because we're out there dealing with neighbors. We're out there dealing with fellow employers or employees. You know, we're dealing with our friends. Okay? We are the mouthpiece of Jesus Christ. Okay? Because we're His church. And while we see the preachers up here preaching and the teachers up here teaching, we don't see all the other things that are going on. Okay? And so those are the things that are important. Everybody has something to do. Everybody has a job to fulfill. And when we're working as a body, even though people may not be seeing what we're doing, we're still doing what we're doing, not for the pat on the back, because we are the spokesperson, we're the mouthpiece for Jesus Christ. Okay? And so when we think of it that way, that means that you and I have a unique relationship. Okay? All of us who are members of the body of Christ have a unique relationship, and that is that we all need one another. The foot can't say to the eye, I have no need of you. You know, that doesn't work. Or vice versa, the foot can't say, because I'm not an eye, they don't need me. Okay, same thing works there. That does not mean that it has not become a part of the body. Okay? Now, look, what would happen if this finger got cut off? Any of these fingers? If I lost a finger and it got cut off, what would happen? What would happen to the finger? Yeah, it's going to just shrivel up and, you know, die. And it's going to, you know, go back to the dust, whatever it is, okay? Now, I might miss that finger. Yeah, that whole body would miss that finger. You know, for the rest of my life, I'd miss that finger. Okay? I don't have it anymore. But the thing is that finger, separated from the body, dies. Okay? That ought to tell us something about the importance of the body. Okay? If I'm a finger, or if I'm a hand, you know, and I'm severed, you know, I die. I wither. I'm just going to, you know, putrefy. It's all over with. Okay? And so it's important to have the hand, and for the hand, it's important to be a part of the body. Okay? And when we get that mindset, realizing that we're not an organization, we're an organism, we're all a living body, each one of us doing our part, then we are fulfilling the plan that God had in mind for. So we're members one of another. And that's why it's important for me to understand these things. I think we need to sit sometimes and forget about the organization business. Quit thinking about, are we doing things the right way? Are we doing it the way they did in the second century? You know, and all of that. I mean, that, I'm not saying that's not important, but we need to think that that is not the most important thing. Okay, most important thing is the members of the body and reaching out to others. Okay, if we just allow my little finger to get cut off and think it doesn't matter. You're incorrect. Okay, it does matter, and if it's cut off, it's going to die. And so my mindset should be: I need to do something while I can in order to restore that finger to its proper health. Okay. Now let's talk a little bit about the difference between an organism and an organization. We've got a lot of organizations in the world out there. Let's just take a civic group, maybe one of our social clubs or whatever. In order to have an organization, you have to have organization. Okay. How does a club, let's take a club, how do they organize themselves? Okay. All right. They're going to have a president, and they're going to have, you know, some officers. Okay. All right. And so they're going to have a sense of leadership along that line. Okay. In order to be a part of that group, I'm going to have to attend their meetings. Okay, I might not have to attend them all, but I'm going to have to attend enough to say that, you know, I'm a part of that group. So I'm going to have to attend some meetings. All right. Another thing that I'm going to have to do is I'm going to have to learn what the rules that govern that makes that club a club or a group, a civic group, what are their code of ethics by which they live? And I'm going to have to abide by that code of ethics. Okay? Now, something else that I might have to do is that I might have to pay some dues. You know, they got bills and things they got to pay too. So, you know, we're going to have to pump a little bit and pay the dues. So if I do those things, I'm considered to be a member of that club or civic group or whatever the case may be. That's all it takes, all right? Now, how do we determine if someone is a member of a church? Someone comes up to you and says, "Hey, is old John, is he a member of your church?" And you think, well, you know, I don't know. He attends. He's there almost every Sunday, and sometimes he comes on Wednesday night, you know. So, yeah, he does that. You know, he brings his Bible, and he's in Bible class, and he studies, so that's good, you know. And I see him throw a check in, the plate every once in a while. So, yeah, I guess he's a member of the church. Okay. What's wrong with that thinking? I had a guy come up to me one time, and he had been visiting our congregation for quite a while, and he says, "I'm impressed with this congregation." He says, "I want to be a member of this congregation. How do I join?" Absolutely right. He was disappointed when I told him what I told him. I said, "This is not a group that you join. I said, this is a group that you're added to." I said, "This is the body of Christ, and Christ adds you to that body." Okay. And when I told him, you know, about baptism and those things, he went away. Okay? So the church is not an organization. Okay? We don't do it. And we start placing our emphasis on church attendance. You know, if I just attend church, you know, and if I live by the rules, you know, and if I put my check in the contribution plate, you know, I'm a member in good standing. You know, we miss the point. We miss the point because we're forgetting about all the one another business that's supposed to be taking place. We're a group that takes care of one another. Or we should be. We're a group that, you know, we realize if someone's not here, especially for, you know, maybe two or three Sundays in a row or whatever the case may be, that something is wrong and we need to check on those people. All right? Guy was telling the story about a fellow who had been missing from service for a while, and they started inquiring and asking about him. Says he hasn't been here in a while. You know, has anybody checked on him? You know, and well, nobody checked on him. And so he decided I'm gonna call him, and he did. He says, "We've noticed you haven't been there a while. We just want to check and see if anything was wrong." And he said, "Well, you're right. He says, I've been having some problems, and I haven't been there for 3 months. And you're the first person that's called me." You know, we see that happening all the time, don't we? You know, it took 3 months for someone to take enough initiative to call and see if something was wrong. And I guarantee you, if I'm up there messing around in my garage and I smack my finger with a hammer, it's not going to take me 3 months to get some attention. You know, I want some attention right then. All right. And a lot of times people aren't here because they're hurting, which to me is kind of a reverse thing. We'd want to be here when we're hurting, but people will withdraw to themselves when they're hurting or if something's wrong. Sometimes they feel ashamed. Sometimes they feel hurt, whatever the case may be. And if they're missing, you know, then we need to find out what's going on. We need to have that concern about one another. We are members one of the other. All right. Now, if we use that analogy of our body parts, if we're missing one of those body parts, you know, or if something's wrong, if I've got a bobo in my foot or my arm or whatever, I want it taken care of. Okay, and that's what it amounts to. So we need to have that type of genuine concern for those type of individuals because we're members one of another. We're not an organization. We are an organism. Okay, we are a living body. We are the body of Christ. He is our head. Okay, and if our body part hurts, you know, then we need to take care of it. Now, I'm giving you firsthand experience. When I was at MCC, we had a coach there, an athletic coach. His big thing was baseball. And the school had been in existence for 10 years, and they had a basketball team, but they didn't have a baseball team. So he wanted to organize a baseball team. So we went out and helped him build a baseball field, and we could have a baseball team. And we started practicing, and we went to playing baseball. We didn't win any games, but, you know, we had fun anyway. I had a bad habit of, I don't know why, I saw the professionals do it, and I stick this one finger out of my glove. You know, I'd hold my glove, and I was playing shortstop, you know. Here come a ground ball, and I reached down to get that thing. I jammed that finger right in the ground, and boy, that thing was sticking up like this. Boy, it was hurting, you know. Now, do you think the rest of my body said to me, "You dummy, if you'd had that finger inside that glove, you wouldn't have had that problem, you know. You should have played by the rules. That finger, you know, that finger in that glove was there for a reason. You should have kept it in." You think my body did that? No. My body was helping that. Boy, I was grabbing on like this, and you know, when I was hunching up, and you know, the whole body was participating in the hurt. Okay, I guarantee you, it wasn't just my finger that hurt. I hurt all over, and I went over to the coach over there, and I said, "Coach, look at my finger." He grabbed it and pulled it back, popped it back in place, said, "Get back in there." Well, I managed to play the rest of the game, but the next day my hand was just black and blue all over, you know. I was hurting, okay? And it wasn't just the cause was that finger, but my body was hurting all over. You get what I'm talking about? Okay. You know what I'm talking about? If someone is hurting in our congregation, we don't go to them and say, "Well, you ain't got nobody to blame but yourself. You know, you caused it. You know, what do you expect?" Is that what we do? No. We want to take care of the hurt. Don't worry about the fault. Don't worry about blaming someone. We want to take care of the hurt. Okay. Now there's something else that can happen too. We used to play a lot of racquetball just in our spare time. You know what racquetball is? Getting that square court and you got a little ball like this and you got a racket and you try to. It's almost like volleyball, but you're hitting it against the wall and it comes back to you, and then the other guy's got to hit it and you try to make them miss and so forth. That's a fast game. And it can get pretty rough sometimes. Well, sometimes, you know, you might sacrifice your body to try to make a good shot, and that's the worst thing you can do because you're playing on a wood. When you do, you come up with those burns, you know, those floor burns all over your body, and by the time a game's over with, you got bruises all over, you know, and so forth. Well, sometimes, in order trying to maybe show out or make a good shot, you make this move, and, you know, you get all tripped up and down you go, you know, and you come up with scrapes all over, and you know, you might say to your foot, say, "You know what, the body's going this way and you didn't go." You know, it was your fault, you know, the body got injured. Well, that it might be, but the point is, what I'm trying to make is that the body does get injured. Okay, when one part doesn't do what they're supposed to do, there's injuries to be involved. I did the same thing in one of those baseball games one time. Just again, another ground ball. And when I did, I caught my cleat on the side of my shoe right there, and it hung. And I was trying to run, and it cut a hole, and I just down I went, you know. Well, you know, I could get up and blame my foot, you know, but that foot wasn't where it was supposed to be, okay? But the point I'm trying to make is if all the body parts don't perform what they're supposed to do, people get hurt. There's consequences, all right? So I need to remember that. We are a body. We function as a body. We need everybody. All right? Now, it's spoken in 1 Corinthians 12 over there about some of the parts that aren't seen being more important. Okay. Think about the inside of your body. What's in there? Heart. Bob says up here, but we're talking about this one this time, okay? We're not talking about this one. We're talking about this one. You got some lungs in there. You got some kidneys in there. Those things aren't seen, are they? Are they important? You better believe it. If that heart stops beating, you're a goner. Your lung stops breathing, you're a goner. You know, if your kidneys fail, you know, unless they can get you on some way to, you know, do that work for them, you're a goner. Okay. What I'm getting at is, a lot of times we have these parts that are not necessarily seen, but they're just as important and even more important than the parts that are seen. Okay? So that's why we say when Jesus, He puts us in the body where He wants us, okay, and He gives us a job to perform, we need to perform our job. We might be a heart. We might be a lung. We don't know. Okay? Well, we should know. I'm not saying, but everybody needs to understand what their place in the body is. Am I a hand? Am I an eye? You know, am I an ear? Okay. I can't tell you. I don't know. Okay. But you know. You may not know you know, but you know. Okay. Let me give you a little way to maybe help you find out what you are or where you perform best in the body. What do you enjoy doing? Where do you get your most enjoyment in the church? Is it visiting, or is it in teaching classes, or maybe cleaning the building, or maybe baking cookies to take to somebody? You know, there's all kinds of things that we do, and we use those things to help perform our, I like to call it a gift, which is where God placed us in the church. If I get enjoyment out of doing things, that's probably where you belong. You know, you can serve, you can minister, you can teach, you can preach. There's all kinds of things that can be done in the church. And if you enjoy doing those things, that's probably where you belong. Now, I'm not saying you shouldn't do other things, but if this is what I enjoy doing, this is what I want to do, then that's where you need to, put your emphasis. That make sense? That'll help you to understand where you are. Now, we need teachers and we need preachers. That's true. But not everybody gets enjoyment out of doing that. Okay? I don't think this is my gift. I have another gift. I like to teach, but I don't think this is where I do my best good. But I use this as where I think my gift. Okay? So I'm not going to get into that too much, but just think about that idea as we go through some things we're talking about. Now, we've got a few more minutes yet. We used to work, one of the jobs that we had when the company I was working for was we would go into subdivisions and or non-existent subdivisions and put in the utilities and the roads and everything, and then contractors would come in and build these houses. Well, from time to time, I used to like to go back to some of those subdivisions and just drive around and see what had been in there, you know. And went through there one time, and there was a guy, they were building some houses, and this was kind of back in the subdivision. There was a guy with his pickup backed up there, and he was loading bricks on his truck. And it struck me as funny because this was on a Sunday afternoon. You know, everybody was gone, nobody working out there, but he was out there by himself loading bricks. And it wasn't a company truck, you know. And he kind of looked at me funny when I drove by, like maybe I'd caught him, you know. So I know what he was doing, you know, it wasn't my business. But I got to thinking about that. Now, here was a house. This might have been his house. I don't know, you know. Maybe I'm reading something into this I shouldn't. But here is this house, about three-fourths done with all these bricks, you know. And he's out here loading bricks on his truck. Why did he take the bricks out of that pile? Why didn't... Yeah, he didn't take them off the house, did he? He took them off the pile. Why is that?
They're there.
Yeah. What was holding those bricks on that house? Mortar and each other. They were kind of locked together, okay? I'm using this for a reason. It's because, you know, the old devil is kind of a clever guy. He's a very deceitful guy. And we think about time that he's attacking us on doctrine all the time, and he does. He does that. But you know what his best tool is? You got it. Divide and conquer. Okay. He can cause squabbles within the church. He can get us fighting one another in the church. Okay. And when we do, we forget about that unity house sitting there. We're part of this pile of bricks down here, you know, now. And he can easily take us. You know, the human body normally destroys itself from within. Yeah, people have car wrecks and, you know, people get shot and those types of things all the time. But most people die from, you know, the failure of the human body. The lungs or the heart or something fails. And so it kind of destroys itself from inside. Even when you have cancer, you know, those cells start fighting each other and people die from that. Okay, and the devil knows that too. He knows that his best opportunity to destroy a church is inside the church. Okay. But now, if we're like a building or a stone building, mortared together and together, okay, we know our function. We know we are the body of Christ, and we're watching out for one another. How much chance do you think the old devil has? Very limited, right? Very limited. But we still allow people to slip off, you know, and we don't find out what's going on. We don't check with people. Maybe we cause things by gossiping or hurting people's feelings or whatever the case may be. We're very bad about that sometimes, you know. And as we do, we're just destroying ourselves from within. We are members one of another. I have a body here, and I don't want my body to get hurt in any way. And if it does, I'm going to try to heal it as quickly as I can. The church is a body. And so we need to function in much the same way. If there's a problem, we need to take care of that problem. Okay. We are dependent upon one another. All right. So what does this mean? What does this mean to us? It means to us that the church is going to be God's body, His earthly body, until He comes again. Okay. His incarnation is going to continue. It's going to continue through the church. Okay. My responsibility as part of the church is to help with that plan as much as possible. To understand that the church is not an organization, it's an organism, and that we are all parts of the body, and that we all have a function to fulfill. So I need to fulfill my function, and I also need to be watching out for others around me. You know, and if there's a problem somewhere else, I'm not saying that I'm a problem solver. I just need to be aware of it and let people know that I'm aware. And somebody can help solve problems. Okay? So I need to fulfill my function. So let's think about that in the days ahead. Take those sheets I gave you and read those one another passages there. I think next week we're going to talk about greet one another. This is where it says greet one another with a holy kiss. We want to talk about what that means, that idea of that holy kiss and so forth. So we'll talk about that next week. So just remember that we are members one of another. We have an obligation towards the church. We have an obligation towards one another. And I hate to say an obligation. I should say that it's a blessing. It's a privilege to be able to serve one another. Appreciate your time.